Hi there. If you really want to boost your productivity in Revit, then you are in the right place. I want to show you how to add custom features to Revit that will automatically update parameters based on whatever you need. For example, picture this. Have you ever wanted to track coordinates of your elements automatically? So you can tag them in a plan and they will be updated whenever you move them. Or maybe you want to know when was the last time the element was modified and by who. Or how about this? Automatically update a parameter in your windows and doors that will track if they are mirrored or not, so you can order your windows and doors correctly from a factory. And this is just a few examples that I will show you in this video. In reality, you can do anything related to changes in Revit. Track who deleted structural elements, modify certain parameters based on the position or other parameters, and so on. And to do all of this, we will have to use iUpdater from Revit API. And it's not as complicated as it sounds. Let me break it down for you. We'll start by looking at the documentation, then I will create a PyRevit hook, and I will show you how to track coordinates, update is mirrored parameters in your windows and doors, and how to add timestamp whenever element was last modified. And by the end, you'll know how to add even more functionality to your Revit. So let's begin with documentation. Right here, I'm in Revit API Docs 2023, and I'm gonna write iUpdater interface. I need to look for this one. And this is the interface used to create an updater capable of reacting to changes in Revit model. What it means is that whenever you make any changes, you move the wall, you change parameter, you change type, anything, this iUpdater will be triggered. And you can look at what happened, and you can add extra changes and piggyback on the same transaction. So you won't even need to create a separate transaction, you just do it in the same transaction whenever it was detected. Now, let's scroll down to the example, and in here you'll see a large example code. In here, they create a wall updater class, they inherit everything from the iUpdater, because this I represents interface, and it's pretty much a blueprint for your class, which already has certain functionality embedded in this. And then they write here some kind of updater, but it doesn't matter because we're not gonna do it this way. This one is a little bit more complicated because we have to create it and then we have to subscribe to it manually. Instead of that, we're gonna use PyRevit hooks, which is a simplified way of using all the event triggers. We can read more about it by going to PyRevit Dev Docs. And right here is the Notion page, where you can learn a lot about PyRevit and hooks. And the first thing you need to know is that PyRevit is super simple to use. Right here you can see there is create your first hook, and this hook represents event triggers in PyRevit. Here they say how to make it for the view activated, but I'm gonna show you how to use this iUpdater. Even though it's still an interface, it acts as an event handler, so we're gonna treat it like one as well. Now, I'm not gonna go too deep into documentation because I think you will learn far more by actually seeing the example in action. So to do this, we're gonna open the Revit, and right here you can see I prepared a very little file. I have two windows on the top and two doors in the middle. And then I have a special tag that will track XYZ point, the last user who modified it with a timestamp, and then the state, is it mirrored or not. And we're gonna start with the first one, XYZ points. Now, before we're gonna go and start coding, let's explore inside the element. I'm gonna select this window for example, and then I'm gonna go to add-ins and click right here on Revit lookup. Click on Snoop selection and here's the menu. Now, for the position, it's fairly simple. Already you can see here is a property called location, and when I click on it, inside there is going to be location point. Sometimes you'll also see location curve if you have line-based families, but in case of windows and doors, I'm pretty sure pretty much all of them use location point. Here's the coordinate, and also keep in mind that this coordinate is in feet, because Revit API uses feet internally. We'll have to convert it, but it's going to be very simple. Now, also for the future, I'll just write here mirrored, and you'll see that there is a parameter called mirrored. We'll also use this to determine if our door was mirrored or not. There are also parameters to see the flipped, but this one we won't need to use because sometimes you can flip it in a way that it's still the same door, even though it looks the other way. So mirrored is far better property here. All right, so these were the properties. Here's our Revit model. Now, how do we create hooks? This is the first question. First of all, we have to go to our extension. Right here, I'm gonna use my EFTutor extension. And then once you're inside the extension folder, which is this dot extension, we need to create here a new folder, which is gonna be called hooks. Let's do this. Now we can open this folder. Oh, and by the way, if you're completely new to PyRevit, it's super simple to create. You just need to create this special folder structure and point PyRevit to your folder. That's it. And if you need help, here is a video where you will learn more about this. Now let's continue with hooks. In here, we need to create certain naming for our files. Let's go back to PyRevit developer documentation quickly, and here in the create your first hook, It will also direct you to these extension hooks. Let's open it. And in here, if you scroll through, you will see all the special names PyRevit uses for event triggers. On the right, you can see Revit event type. For example, there is application document created. And in PyRevit, we can create doc created. These are all the names for the files we can use for our hooks. And for this specific iUpdater event, we need to create a file that's called doc-updater. Now, we're going to go inside, and for now, I'm just going to write print changed detected. That's all I'm going to do. I have my PyRevit extension, and I created my hook. That's it. Now, I'm going to go back to Revit, and usually, the first time you add your PyRevit hook, we need to go to PyRevit and reload it. I'm going to click right here, and then say yes, we're sure that we want to reload it. Now, once it's reloaded, we can check if our hook started to work. Because we use doc updater, it's going to be activated whenever there's any change detected. Let's grab this window, move it to the right. And I can see right away this popped up, says change detected. Let's try it again. I'm going to move it. And again, change detected. And now, whenever we're going to make any changes in Revit, our script is going to be triggered. And this script is going to be executed inside another transaction that's already happening. So we don't even need to create transaction. This is why they are fairly fast as well. Now, before we're gonna go and start coding, I want you to keep this in mind. Whenever you create your PyRevit hooks or subscribe to any events in Revit, have to be very careful with your code. You need to make sure that it's bulletproof to any errors and that you have certain error handling there. Because if you're gonna have an error here, it's gonna be executed every time you make any changes. And imagine if you made some kind of broken hook, added to your office, and every single user in your office is gonna get an error. This is why you have to be very careful and try to make it as efficient as possible, because otherwise you can slow down other people's workflows. Now, let's go back to the code. I'm gonna zoom on it and remove. And we're gonna start coding here. First of all, I'm gonna paste here my UTF-8 encoding. This is special syntax in Python, and it just tells me that I can start using even German letters and emojis and so on. The next, we need to make some imports. We're gonna write from Autodesk, RevitDB, import, and normally I would import everything, but in the hooks, I try to minimize my imports, because this place is actually where it matters to make it as efficient as possible. For now, let's import just built-in category and parameters, and we're definitely gonna come back and import more. Now, let's mark it as imports, and the next, we need to get some variables. Now, since it's a hook, it's a little bit different how we get our variables. First of all, I want you to know that we can get our sender and event arguments. Because iUpdater acts as an event handler, it means that whenever it's triggered, it's going to send us a sender and arguments. And this is common framework for all events across all languages. It was going to get sender, what send you this message, and arguments, from where we can get some more information. Now, the first thing probably what we want to get is our doc, which represents our document, which is a project in Revit. Also, I've seen there are many different properties and methods to get it. In this case, I'm going to use arguments get document, because this one worked for me every time, and other methods sometimes failed for me, so I'm not even going to mention them. All right, we got our document. Since we are using this iUpdater, we can get all the modified elements, all deleted elements, and all new elements. Now we got element IDs of all the modified, deleted, and new elements after whatever change happens. If you're going to delete something in Revit, obviously, you won't have anything in modified and new, but you're gonna have in the deleted, and vice versa, right? Now, let's write here, get element IDs for modified, deleted, and new. And of course, we're also gonna add emoji here. Now, the next, I wanna convert these element IDs into elements. Since I'm only gonna be working with modified element IDs, I'm only gonna make it once. I'm gonna write here, modified elements equals document get element, and we're gonna provide element ID. And we need to iterate for element ID in modified element IDs. This is called a list comprehension. Alternatively, I could create an empty list, create a for loop, iterate for this, and kind of get each element one by one and add it to the list. This way, we do this in one line. And I think it's much more readable as well once you know the syntax. All right, we got our elements. Now we can actually look inside and see what we can do with them. Now let's create a comment here. I updated for modified elements. And we're going to write for element in modified elements. And now we're going to do something. First of all, I want to make sure that I'm only modifying something for my window and doors. You can do for other elements, but I want to do to this. So I need to create a list of allowed categories. I'm going to create it here. Inside of it, I need to write element ID. And inside, I'm going to write built-in category of windows. And I want to do the same for the doors. Listen, the reason why I'm using the element IDs on my categories and not just categories themselves is because when we're going to be getting category from our element, there's a property called built-in category. And it's not available in all Revit API versions for some reason. So therefore, if we're going to be checking ID of the categories, we won't get any errors. This is what we're going to do. Now here, write if element category ID in allowed categories, it means that we work with doors or windows, right? This is where we will be making our changes. So let's make three comments here. The first one is going to be our update XYZ coordinates in meters. Secondly, we're going to add timestamp to edited elements. And lastly, we're going to update mirror state. And it's not that complicated, trust me. Now, let's make some space and we're going to start with the first one. We have to grab the point of our element, convert coordinates to meters, then write one of the chosen parameters. For the simplicity, I'm going to take the comments parameter. However, make sure that you use parameter which can vary by group. Because otherwise, when you have your elements in the group and they change, and you cannot change this parameter, you might crash your Revit, or maybe you will just get an error. I'm not sure, I haven't tried it, but I'm quite sure that you should definitely use parameters that varies across groups. This is important. But for this example, I'm going to use the comments parameter because I forgot to make special parameters for the coordinates. Now, first we're going to get our parameter. I'm going to write pcoms for the comments, then get parameter, built-in parameter, and in there we have to look for the comments. It's going to be all model instance comments. This is the instance parameter, exactly what I wanted. Then next, we're going to grab the point. It's going to be our element, location, point. This was easy. And this is XYZ class. So we can get our X, Y, and Z coordinates. For that, we have to take point and take the capital X, capital Y, and capital Z. But as I've mentioned before, these coordinates, they're going to be in feet. So we have to convert it to metric system. If you work in metric system, of course. To do this, we need to import another class. Let's come in here. And we need our unit utils. And then we need our unit type ID. Now, let's scroll down. And in here, we need to use our unit utils. And there are two methods. There is convert from internal and convert to internal. In this case, we're converting from internal. We're providing this coordinate of X, which is just a number. And then we need to specify desired units. In our case, it's going to be unit type ID, meters. Now let's just paste it here and change this point to Y and Z. Now this is going to be coordinates in meters now. I also want to round it because I don't want to have like infinite numbers in my comments or anywhere when I tag it. I just want to see two numbers. So we're going to round it to two digits. All right. And now we have our X, Y, and Z coordinates, which is already converted to meters and rounded to only two digits after the comma. This is perfect. Now we need to create a string where we combine all these coordinates and we need to write it to this parameter. Now we have this coordinate. Let's take this P comment and set our coordinate value. All right. Oh, and by the way, keep in mind that you should avoid printing much in this script because when you're going to be changing a lot of elements, it will have to trigger a lot of print statements at the same time. And I had my Revit crash a few times, which doesn't make any sense because it's just print statement. But I guess it's overloading something and breaks. So keep that in mind. All right, we iterate for our modified elements. If they are in windows or doors categories, then we're going to get parameter comments. We're going to calculate point X, Y, and Z. And we're going to write this coordinate into the parameter. Now, let's go to Revit and test if it works. Now, in Revit, we don't have to update anything. It should already be updated automatically. Let's grab one of the windows, and I'm just going to move it to the left. The moment we do this, we get an error saying that element ID is not defined. That's okay, nothing has crashed, that's good. This is because I haven't imported everything. We come back and we import element ID. Let's also make it parentheses so we can break it into multiple lines. Alright, I think I haven't forgotten anything. Let's go and try it again. I'm gonna select it and I'm gonna move it. And look at that. This time it has changed. You can see that this parameter has changed. Also, this one, when we start moving them, you can see the X axis starts to changing. And if I'm going to grab, for example, the wall and start moving up, you can see this one is changing as well. Also, this one has changed because once we start triggering this wall has changed. And once this wall has changed, it kind of triggered these windows as well. You can see you will always have correct parameters, even if you're moving your example, wall, you see it's all adjusted. For example, it's really powerful to take all your windows and doors and track where's the kind of top edge of the concrete and the bottom edge of the concrete. And you can tag it in the windows with the absolute coordinates, so that on the side they can always verify if the height of the window is always correct. Now, this is already great. I can drag it all along and you can see my XYZ always updating to whatever is inside the door. And again, you can modify it and display only Y, maybe only Z, whatever parameter you want. I'm just showing you an example here. Now, let's select this window and change the offset. For example, let's say it goes 50 cm up. Look here. It has updated the meters as well. Everything works as it should be. This is great. All right, and we already added the first new feature to Revit. Now, whenever we're gonna move our window on doors, we're gonna update their coordinates inside the comments parameter, and you can choose any parameter you want. Just make sure it varies by group. And you definitely can push it much further. The next thing we're gonna do is we're gonna check who was the last person who modified it, and most importantly, at what time. This is gonna be simple as well. Let's go back to the code and continue. Here's our second comment. I'm gonna start by defining the actual time. To do this, we need to make an import. Here we're gonna write from DateTime, import DateTime, and also from RevitDB, we need to import WorkSharing Utils. Now let's go back. All right, let's start by getting the timestamp. For this, we will need to use DateTime now. We can also format this timestamp. We're gonna use timestamp, then we need to write strf time, and then we need to use this special symbol to define how the time should look. You can find the documentation, it looks like this. You can see different symbols refer to different kind of way you can display your year, month, day, and time. But here's how I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna show year, month, and day, and then I'm gonna show hour, minutes, and seconds. And very importantly, keep in mind that you should not use special symbols here. I think if you're gonna try to use, for example, this colon or semicolon or a few other symbols, you might crash your Revit because they are not allowed, and iUpdater is really trying to push them. But this is gonna work because all we use is numbers and kind of dashes. Next, we're gonna create our WorkSharing Utils, get WorkSharing tooltip info. We need our document and element ID. And then we can read the property last changed by. This is gonna return you the name of the user. And let's combine it in a value, just gonna create formatted string. I'm gonna write last and then the formatted timestamp. All right, now we need to override our parameter, which is also simple. In my case, I'm gonna get this parameter by using lookup parameter because I'm using shared parameter last modified by. Now, since we're in a hook, make sure you don't use set right here because in some projects, this parameter is not gonna be defined. And therefore, it might crash. So before you do this, we need to check if we found this parameter. Then we're gonna take this p last, and then we're gonna set this new value. Oh, and also, for those of you wondering why we're not using transaction, I mentioned it before, but we're piggybacking on the existing transaction. When you move your wall, transaction happens in Revit by itself. And now we're injecting this code into this transaction in the end. So this works perfectly. I think if I haven't misspelled anything or haven't forgotten any imports, that should work well. Let's go to Revit and try it. Again, I'm gonna take this window and just grab it down. And you can see right away it has updated. I need to make my tag a little bigger right here, just a second. And you can see the last user who modified this was Learn Revit API at this date and at this time. This is because my account name is Learn Revit API. Now, if I move this door, you can see it changes here. Now, if I'm gonna keep moving, you can see there's like a timer. It changes time as I move it. Now, let's grab that one, move it, and you can see it all changes perfectly, which is amazing. And this is how easy it was to implement the second feature. Just took a few lines, and now we can add the timestamp to edited elements. And lastly, let's figure out the state of our windows and doors to make sure that we order either mirrored or not mirrored doors for our project. We're gonna come back right here. Let's make some space here. And now mirror state is very simple. And first of all, we need to define our value. I'm gonna define it as mirrored if element is mirrored or else it's gonna be not mirrored. Again, this is our conditional comprehension. I don't want to write if else, I can do it just in one line, and in this case it works perfect because everything is short. Now have our value, next we need to get our parameter, and just write this value to this parameter. Very simple, let's do this. And to do this, I'm going to get our element and look up for parameter is mirrored. And if parameter mirrored exists, then we're going to change this value. And in projects where this parameter doesn't exist, just going to kind of skip it. All right, let's go back to Revit and now we're gonna test it. I'm just gonna grab this wall and move it to the left. We can see these doors are not mirrored. I'm gonna start clicking on the space and we will start flipping it to all states. You can see mirrored, not mirrored, mirrored, not mirrored, mirrored, not mirrored, and so on. We can do the same here, this one now, mirrored, not mirrored. And now you can use this parameter to actually schedule your doors and windows correctly. And this is just the beginning. I showed you very simple free implementations of iUpdater. But imagine how much more functionality can you add to your Revit by using this class. It's really amazing what you can do with just a few lines of code sometimes. And this is one of those examples. Looks very simple, but very effective, and gives you what you thought impossible before. Another thing, let's come back in here. And again, we haven't used any error handling, we didn't make enough if statements and so on. Normally, I would probably definitely gonna add here much more. Another check we can do in here is, for example, if type of element is not equal to family instance, which we also have to import. Let me try it here. Now let's come back. If type of element is not equal to family instance, then we're gonna skip it. And the reason we need this, because when you work with your windows and doors, and you're gonna change their types, you're still gonna get some modified element, which is gonna be your type, and it's gonna check the category, which also gonna match windows and doors. This way you make sure that you only work with instances, and you don't do anything with types. Because in Revit API, instance and types are two different parameters. Then the next thing, I would definitely add here somewhere a try and accept statements. For example, I'm gonna grab everything here. And then right here, I'm gonna add accept, and we're gonna import traceback. I'm gonna print the error message. Or maybe you don't wanna see any messages, you just wanna pass it. So if you're gonna be, for example, dividing 1 by 0, this is gonna trigger a warning. Let's write here, print 1 divided by 0. Let's go and try to do something. When we do, you can see nothing happens, even though I definitely know that error has happened. But also notice that our values are not changing right now. And this is because we have try and accept statement, it's failing here, and we are not printing any errors because we did not specify it right here. So keep in mind whether you want your users to see an errors or you just want to suppress your errors with the hooks together. This is up to you. Hi there. I was just editing the video and I realized that there is one more thing I need to show you if you really want to use iUpdaters in your office. Let's go to Revit API Developer's Guide and I'm going to show you something about Dynamic Model Update. This is the section that refers to the iUpdater interface. In here, you will see a few more sections, and I strongly recommend you to go through all of them and read them. Even though the documentation is going to be on the C#, and you will see there are a bunch of different methods, which we didn't even do, it's still really good if you're going to read about them and you know that they exist. Because in our case, we use PyRevit Hook, and it did all the heavy lifting for us. It took care about updater ID, its name, information, priority, and all of this. All we did is wrote the logic, which was kinda inserted in the execute method. Now, most importantly, right here, I wanna show you this page about exposure to the end user. Because what can happen, you might encounter this kind of warning, and it's gonna look terrifying, especially to all your colleagues in the office, because it looks like something bad has really happened. But all it tells us is that if a document is modified by a non-optional updater, and later loaded when updater is not installed, this task dialog will show up. And it just tells you that one of the users that opened this project previously had an iUpdater, which was marked as non-optional updater. And PyRevit hooks, they are marked as non-optional updaters as well. So if you're gonna create a hook, like I showed you in this video, then you're gonna go to one of your projects and then you're gonna delete this hook. This is the warning message you and all your team members gonna see when you open the project. And I know it sounds terrifying, but don't worry, it's very easy to get rid of it. All you have to do is open your project as detached and most importantly, click on the audit button. Once you do that and save your model, you will see this one more time and only you who saves this model will see this. And then nobody else will ever see this because this will clear all this kind of third-party updaters which are not even existing anymore. So either notify everybody in the office that this might happen if, for example, you're going to get rid of the iUpdater, and they should click on the second button, do not warn about this updater again and continue working. Or as I said, you can detach your file and audit it, save it again, and then you won't see this warning again. This is how you clear it. Now, let's go back to the video and I have a few more closing remarks that I think you will appreciate to hear. Alright guys, we made quite a lot in this lesson in very short amount of time. And I'm pretty sure that you already have all kind of crazy ideas what you want to do with your Revit. First of all, I want you to share these ideas in the comments. Let us know what you want to do and maybe even I can help you somewhere. But I'm really curious, how would you like to use iUpdater in your own office and on your own projects? Second of all, if you are new to Revit API, make sure you grab my ebook, The Beginner's Guide to Revit API. It's an amazing resource, there are 50 pages, and I put there as much code snippets and information as I possibly could. I'm still gonna keep updating it in the future, but right now it's already amazing help, and trust me, this is something that I wish I had when I started. Lastly, I wanna say huge thanks to my supporters on Ko-fi and Patreon pages. I really appreciate that you decide to support my tutorials and also my EF Tools extension. And overall, I wanna wish you happy coding, and I hope to see you in the next videos. Goodbye.